Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Reading from God's Word this morning, our sermon text is from the Gospel according to John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 15. John 10, 1 through 15. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus said, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Almighty God and our most merciful Father in heaven, we praise you for the day that you have created. We praise you for the life that you breathe into us by your Spirit, and the new life we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity, this privilege to approach your throne of grace this morning to be taught by you. We thank you for opening your word. We pray your Spirit will illuminate our minds, give us understanding, open our hearts to your truth, that we may grow in our love for you and for our neighbors. And move us, Lord, to great zeal to respond to what we hear this day with faith to serve you and your kingdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Saints of Christ Church, I thank you and the elders for the privilege to bring you God's word this morning. It is a task to be taken very seriously, great reverence to God, and I am thankful for the privilege to open the scriptures to you this day. From John 10, the good shepherd, Jesus, who lays down his life for the sheep. One of the most well-known or famous favorite passages of scripture is Psalm 23, especially, if I can say, for older saints. As a pastor, it is my most requested passage to read when visiting Christians in the hospital, when those who are mourning, perhaps facing a particularly hard surgery or uncertainty with a health situation, they say, please read the 23rd Psalm. Nearly every funeral I've conducted, the family has requested, please read the 23rd Psalm. In fact, a brother going in for a triple bypass surgery said, please read Psalm 23, but would you please put my name in there? The Lord is Bob's shepherd. Bob shall not be in want. The Lord gives us great comfort in the truth of His word. The Spirit builds up our faith when we hear God's promises. And the promises of Psalm 23 are good and true for those who belong to Almighty God. When approaching death, or after a loved one passing away, we love to hear that we belong to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, Lord, you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, we love to hear for ourselves when approaching death, or to hear of our loved ones when they've died, that they belong to the Lord, that He is faithful to His covenant promises, that disease and death do not have the last word. The Lord has been with them all the way until the end. And they will be with the Lord forever. David wrote Psalm 23. His words were true for him with all the uncertainties, all the conflicts that he had in his life. When Saul was pursuing him and trying to murder him, Yahweh was David's shepherd. When preparing to go into battle, the Lord prepared a table before David in the presence of his enemies. When under the stress and hardships of persecution, David had God's promises. And David knew what a shepherd was, didn't he? For David was a shepherd. David knew what it was to care for those under him, whether it was animals, or later, as a king, God's people. David, for David, the shepherd's shepherd was the Lord. So what kind of care does the Lord provide as the shepherd? Well, David wrote in Psalm 23 that shepherds provide green pastures. Shepherds lead to still waters. Shepherds provide food. They provide drink. They provide rest. Sheep eat grass. Sheep drink water. And they lie down and rest in the pastures. Shepherds seek to heal the sheep with restoration. They lead with guidance and protection. And that leading can both be with the gentle guidance of a staff or the correction with the rod. And the sheep trusts the shepherds to lead well. They trust that the shepherds will protect. Recall, if you will, David's words before he went to the battlefield to fight Goliath. They said, David, you're too young. Goliath has been at this a long time. How can you fight him in battle? And what did David say? I used to keep my father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came, I went out and struck and delivered the sheep. When it arose against me, I struck it and killed it. Shepherds protect. I have killed both lion and bear, David said. Shepherds are ready to fight. Shepherds are ready to protect. And finally, shepherds provide for the sheep. They provide dwelling. The shepherding Lord promises dwelling for us, His people. Dwelling with the saints in the house of the Lord. Eternal dwelling with the house in the house of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, it is with this understanding of shepherding and care that we hear from God's word this morning in our sermon text from John 10. In John 10, our Lord Jesus reveals that He is the good shepherd. His people belong to Him as His sheep. Jesus provides shepherd care, shepherd protection for His people. The same ideas, the same shepherding images that we hear in Psalm 23, that famous passage of godly shepherding, are here in John 10. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, he fulfills the role of the Good Shepherd, the one who cares, the one who comforts the sheep of God. So looking at John 10, the first shepherding quality that we hear is that of dwelling. Verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a sheep and a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Entering through the gate, entering through the door of the fold. Where do sheep dwell? In the sheepfold. Protective dwelling. Shepherds provide a safe home for the sheep. And shepherds come in the right way. They know the way into the fold. They don't try to sneak in through a side window or a back door. They come through the gate. Predators come in the wrong way. Verses 7 and 9, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture." Jesus, the Lord, is the shepherd of the flock, and he is the lawful access to the fold. To get into the fold, you have to come through Jesus. You have to come in through the shepherd. And it is the act of coming into the fold that puts us under the care of Jesus. You come through Jesus into the fold, and immediately you were under his care. He is your shepherd. He watches over, he protects, he comforts. And that care includes his comforting and authoritative voice. Jesus said, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." This is the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. We hear his voice. The Spirit dwells within us. And that word that we hear sounds familiar. It sounds comforting. It leads. It guides. He calls us his sheep. He calls us in his word. And in his word, he gives us green pastures. He refreshes us with still waters. He calls to his sheep and he says, "Come, come into the fold. Come through me. I am the gate. Hear my voice and respond in faith." And by the grace of God, we hear his voice. By the grace of God, we recognize him. It connects with us. You might be familiar with the Peanuts cartoons. You see them maybe Charlie Brown Christmas. And whenever you see the kids approach an adult in the cartoon, you hear the child speak. What do you hear from the adults? Wah, 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 wah. No idea what they're saying. If we are not of the sheep of Christ, and we hear the word, that's what we hear. Wah, 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 wah. It just doesn't connect. It doesn't make sense. But by the grace of God and the work of his Spirit in us, it clicks. It connects. We hear it. It sounds right. My family and I, we were staying at a hotel, and next to the bed is the nightstand. And if you're familiar with hotels, you know in the nightstand you'll find what? A Gideon's Bible. Well, this is the first time I've ever seen there's something new next to the Gideon's Bible. The Book of Mormon. So if I were to stand up to you this morning and read from the Book of Mormon, would that sound familiar? Would you hear the voice of Christ in that book? by the grace of God, the grace of His Spirit, that you can hear, this is His holy word. That sounds familiar. That sounds right. Anything else, that doesn't, no. That's not our God. That's not Jesus. When we hear the Holy Bible, we know it is our Lord. We know He is our shepherd. And we come as sheep into the fold. We come in humble submission to this word, to our shepherd, desiring to be led by Him. We desire to be taught. We desire to be fed. We desire to be comforted by Jesus. And we recognize the voice of our Lord. We praise Him for His shepherding voice. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The last quality given in this section is probably the most important. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd willingly lays down his life for his own. He offered it of his own accord. It was his to give. And Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you and for me. The good shepherd, self-sacrifice, a willingness to die. This is an essential quality to shepherding. There's care, there's love, there's responsibility bound up in caring for the flock. Jesus loves his sheep to the point of death. No greater love than this than a man should lay down his life for his friends. Read from Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's one thing to carry out your responsibilities. You finish your work, you complete your job, you punch out, you go home at the end of the night. That's work. That's a job. Christ's shepherding love for us, for his sheep, is far greater. He doesn't just go home. His mind doesn't just let us go. He never stops caring for us as sheep. If he willingly gave his life for his sheep, for you and for me, and he will continue to care, continue to preserve, continue to protect and provide for. He's not just going to die for you and let you go. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, Scripture also reveals bad shepherding. Bad shepherding, Ezekiel 34. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. This is the Lord's rebuke of the shepherds of Israel. And I want you to hear the rebuke and see if it sounds like the other side of shepherding or the opposite of the qualities that Jesus reflects in his shepherding, or perhaps those that David described in Psalm 23. So Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Right there, what's the first thing they're doing that they shouldn't do? They're taking care of themselves. They're getting fat themselves. They're supposed to feed the sheep, and they're not. They're more concerned with their own bellies than the sheep under their care. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Good shepherds, do good shepherds take the best for themselves? Instead of leading to green grass, a nice pasture, cool waters, the shepherds enjoy that. That's selfish shepherding. That is not Christ-like shepherding. Verse 4, the weak you've not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. No comfort, no care, no healing, no restoration for the sheep. Can you imagine sheep under the care of Jesus Christ not being healed? Can you imagine Jesus caring for his flock and not healing us? Not giving us restoration, not giving us life? It's impossible. His shepherding, care, heals. Jesus heals us. He gives life. Bad shepherds don't. They don't give life. They take it away. Verse 5, so the sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So think back to David. A bear, a lion comes and grabs the sheep. David says, I strike the sheep, or I strike the bear, I strike the lion, and I snatch the sheep back. The Lord says, shepherds, you're doing the opposite. You're scattering. Predators are getting the sheep. You're not providing protection. Bring them back into the fold. We love the great teaching Jesus gave, where as the shepherd, he would leave the 99 and go get the one that wandered away. That's what good shepherds do. Good shepherds don't scatter all 100 of them. And they don't say, I'm sick with the 99, the one can go get eaten by a bear. I'm not going to worry about that one. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed the flock. This is the worst. God's sheep are being devoured. Predators are attacking and killing them. And instead of protective custody over the sheep, the bad shepherds are getting them killed. Shepherds preserve. Shepherds restore. Shepherds give life. No snatching. No snatching of the sheep. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. What were the shepherds doing? The shepherds themselves were devouring the sheep. They're eating the sheep themselves. Instead of leading to life, the shepherds gave death. Does that connect at all to the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ? The shepherds became instruments of death to the sheep under God's care. Jesus gives of himself. His death gives life. Life that we may have it abundantly. So as it turns out, when we hear God's word of judgment on these bad shepherds, we do hear similarities to John 10 as to what Jesus said about warning against his enemies. So back to John 10, his enemies, they come in through another way. Verse 1, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So again, they come in the wrong way. They don't use the key through Jesus to come in. They don't come through Christ. They're not with him. Verse 5, they'll by no means follow a stranger, that is the sheep. They'll flee from strangers, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We do not follow strangers' voices. The bad shepherds of Israel getting fat off the sheep, do you think they were faithfully bringing God's covenant law to Israel? Do you think they were faithfully ministering God's authoritative voice to the people? Do you think they were called to faithfulness to the covenant? These shepherds couldn't even be bothered to faithfully execute their jobs. They were not faithfully administering in God's authoritative voice, the one entrusted to them. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So what do the enemies do? The enemies of the sheep, your enemies, what do they do? Steal, kill, and destroy. They won't lead faithfully. They don't point you to life. Quite the opposite, they lead to death. God's enemies minister death. They're bad shepherds. They're enemies of God. Lastly, verses 12 and 13, a hireling, he who's not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, here's the predator, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Bad shepherds are cowards. They're selfish. They're the opposite of Jesus. No one could ever accuse Jesus, the Good Shepherd, of being selfish, of being a coward. He considered his sheep more worthy of life than himself. So, brothers and sisters, God's word reveals to us what is good shepherding. The qualities of a faithful shepherd in comforting, in caring for the flock of God. And the Lord comforts us in the reality, the glorious reality that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for the sheep. And he continues to speak to us. So in what sense is Jesus our good shepherd still today? We live in the glorious reality that he laid down his life. He rose on the third day. We rejoice that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He ascended to the right hand and is seated at the Father's right hand, and intercedes there for us. So how does he still shepherd us? Because he still does. He still is our good shepherd. We hear in Revelation 7, verse 17, the ascended Christ, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 7:17. From the midst of the throne, he will shepherd us, lead us to living fountains of waters. The ascended Christ. The ascended Christ shepherds us, the church of the firstborn. He leads us to the fountain of living waters, that is himself. echoes of Psalm 23, holding true in the new covenant as God shepherded his people in the old covenant. So how does Jesus do it today? He leads in his cares for the new covenant flock through his appointed shepherds, his pastors and elders, and by shepherding through his church. Jesus shepherds today through his pastor elders, the officers, and through his shepherding church. So first, his appointed shepherds. The resurrected Christ, you'll remember from John 21, knowing that he would return to the Father, entrusted his sheep to his chosen leaders. And there's that famous exchange with Jesus and Peter. John 21. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "What? Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to Jesus, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Peter and the other apostles, they had that first responsibility in the early church to shepherd the flock of God in Jesus' bodily, localized absence. He would go to the right hand of the Father. So Jesus entrusted his flock to his appointed leaders. But when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. He appointed some to be pastors and teachers, some to lead, some to teach his sheep, some to care for, some to protect his flock. Now we as the sheep might tremble at the thought that our shepherd is not locally with us, that he is in heaven. But that actually ought to comfort us. Because the Spirit descended upon his church and upon Jesus' chosen shepherds. The Spirit came upon the church. The Spirit empowers those called by God to care for his sheep. So Christ pastors, Christ's elders shepherd in the authority of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not lead of our own authority. We do not care of our own authority. We do not invent a new religion to administer care over the flock. We do not shepherd of our own strength. Jesus' pastors and elders shepherd the flock to green pastures and beside still waters. And we minister the word of the God so the sheep are fed. Or you desire to be fed. You came to eat today. You came to dine with your Lord and with one another. Those who care for sheep will tell you if you need to lead the sheep from one place to another, you can get a 5-gallon bucket and put some rocks in there and walk along and just bounce the bucket a little bit. And the rocks will go up and down. And the sheep will hear that, and they'll follow. Because what do they think is in the bucket? Food. It's time to eat. So you shake the bucket, and they all follow. And they all get in a line. Sheep want to eat. And they want to be led. Jesus' pastors and elders minister the word of God as the rod and the staff. Comfort sheep. As we are prone to wander, as we are prone to leave the God we love. The shepherds of Jesus' church, we love, we care for the sheep, not as hirelings, not as a job that we do out of obligation or compulsion, but with the love and the grace that the Lord has for his people. Love the flock that Jesus laid down his life for. Second point, the greater church shepherds. The greater church shepherds. Now, this is not an explicit office that we all have as Christians. This is not a specific calling that is spread to all those within the church. In the church, Jesus' pastors and elders are specifically called to shepherd the flock. Specific office for that responsibility. But in the structure of the church, all Christians have the blessed opportunity to participate in shepherding, to participate in the care for one another. Now, a pastor elder may administer the rod to a wayward sheep, but each Christian can provide regular love and regular care for others in the flock through regular ministry of the Word and the Spirit. We can build each other up with encouragement. We can admonish one another with the Word, the voice of the Good Shepherd, before a pastor or an elder even needs to get involved with correction, perhaps. And this is in the regular, everyday ministry of the church. These are your phone calls. How are you doing? I heard you're ill. We've been praying for you. It's conversations over coffee. This is prayer regularly offered for the saints. This is serving one another, suffering with one another. The cord usually goes over my back. I beg your pardon. Regular care for one another. We all do it. We all participate in it. Many of the pastoring, shepherding blessings can be carried out every day in the ministry of the priesthood of all believers. Every conversation we have is an opportunity to minister Jesus Christ. Each prayer is an opportunity to bring our prayer request to the Good Shepherd regarding the sheep for which he died. Christians, we live in union with Christ. We minister to one another in the authority of his name and the power of his Spirit. Pastors, elders are called to shepherd the flock explicitly. Though we do this imperfectly, Jesus is still our good shepherd. Jesus still cares for us. Jesus still shepherds us. He uses imperfect vessels to accomplish his will. So let us entrust ourselves to our good shepherd, the one who truly leads, the one who truly guides, the one who truly protects. He's the gate to the fold and the one in whom we have salvation. So brothers and sisters, let us follow his voice in the church, his shepherding, his leading, his teaching, his feeding. Also in our families, in our everyday lives. And when that day comes, when we approach the valley of the shadow of death to wage one last battle against the evil one, we entrust ourselves to our good shepherd to lead us, the one who's been our comfort, the one who's given us his goodness and mercies all the days of our lives, and let us enter into that eternal rest and dwell in his house forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, we praise you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, in laying down his life for the sheep. Father, Though he is not locally with us, we rejoice that he is at your right hand with all authority in heaven and on earth. And he is with us by your Spirit. Strengthen us in our faith, Father, and your covenant promises that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that though we wander, you go back, you go to get us back, to bring us back. Unite us as your church in our love and our care for one another. Empower your servants, your pastors, and your elders with faithfulness, with courage, with jealousy for your people, for your sheep. And give us all humble hearts to submit to the godly leadership you put in place. For the sake of your church and the glory of your name, we pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.